This is a session with Chad, recorded on July 2nd, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 11:25 a.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Ion.
Hey.
Hey. When I get to the point of doing A over B over Maybank, when I do a Maybank on a one day, that ends up being about, you know, about 3% divided by 365 days, I get an extremely small, like several decimal points, like 4 decimal points.
Yeah.
So it's a really small number, which takes the A over B and makes it incredibly small. So is there a step after the Maybank to rectify that?
No, you don't need to take the annual rate. You need to get as close to the rate you are and then divide that rate.
Explain getting as close to the rate as I am.
Okay, if you do business with Maybank, you may purchase a one-day CD, a one-month CD, a 15-day CD, and that would be a more accurate divisible rate than your .0000 whatever.
Okay, and you're saying that one-day rate is not likely going to have 4 decimal points. It'll be something closer to a whole number?
Correct, because it's not going to be exactly accurate because that interest is also going to beget interest. So on day one, your interest on your yield would not be the same as your yield on 358.
Mm-hmm.
Because that interest will have been gaining yielded interest.
Right, but the interest on a full year, the compounding would be great enough to bring it up to, let's say, 3% annually. But in one day, without any of that compounding, it would be, I don't see how it wouldn't be like 4 decimal points.
Well, you need to find out what the short-term rate is.
Okay.
And the only reason that matters is because it's already in your future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the point, is it's the element that's already a day ahead of you.
Okay. So you're saying there's no step after that to know what the price of, say, the euro is going to be in a day.
Well, depending on the values of where you are, you would divide it by the Maybank rate or divide it into the Maybank rate.
Okay, and what are the factors that determine whether I divide by or into?
We're not doing what.
Okay. Explain the factors that lead
me. Based on your formula, if it's a negative number, you divide it by itself. So if your A over B is a negative number, then you divide it into the Maybank rate. And if it's a positive number, you divide it by the Maybank rate.
Okay.
And then when you have your new x-axis, that should give you the precipitous of plotting your A2, which may very well be just the change. And many times dealing with the euro, it would be a multi-decimal pointed up or down in form of pips, would it not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
Okay. So explain the process I would go through to decide whether or not my A2 is to determine whether it's a shift amount coming out or whether it's the new value.
Well, you've got to plot that. You plot it on your new X and Y on your second tangent. When you get your new X, then that new X and Y gives you a new place of zero to gauge from what your change of A1, what A is, into what A2 is.
Okay. So if
plot the value. And when you plot the value, then you'll know.
Okay.
Because then you prescribe your counted price based on the old price, meaning your old x-axis, and you see where you plotted your A2, and you calculate that value. That'll give you that percentage of change. Because what you're trying to find is the exact difference in the price today and the new price 10 days from today, correct?
Correct.
Good.
So if my new x-axis has been run through the intersection points in the peaks of the C, negative sine, negative cosine, and let's say that's up at, I go up 2 and it's on 2, and then my A over B over Maybank equals like 0.001, I go from my new X and I go up 0.001,
yes.
And then to know the the future price, do I look back to my original?
Your original X, because that's the same. You're talking about the same currency, just a different day, so your old X would kick in.
Okay. So looking at old X, I see where that would line up on the old X.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, good. All right. The other thing, there was one point when I started doing it on paper, I noticed something about if I'm doing A and getting my intersection points in the sine and cosine, and most of the time the intersections in the triangle happen in the troughs. So I'm in the graphing calculator and it tells me where the intersections are. Those intersections are in the troughs, relative to the top of the box or the axis that A runs on, those trough points would be negative. So,
but not in perspective of your graph.
Okay. So
they would be from your little dot imaginary line, the top of the box.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the perspective of your graph.
Okay.
And then as your amplitude is changed based on your size of your degreed circle that you're working with, then that would also affect it other ways. And it always has to do with the way your triangle is actually formed, you see. So there are the times when the peaks would be in the triangle.
Right.
Depending on how it's set up, you see.
Yeah.
So that but like we said though originally, more times than not, your troughs from A would be found inside the triangle and your peaks of B would be mostly in the triangle, you see.
Okay. And those intersection points are valued by me once they're put back onto my graph. And
correct.
They're valued.
There you go. Because see, what you're doing is you're taking trigonometric value or vibration, points of vibration, and applying them into a flat plane geometry or a linear perspective of time.
Right.
So that's where it gets to be fun, and that's why every goober with a dick hadn't figured this out already.
They haven't. What's the reason they haven't figured it out already?
They cannot, in their linear way, calculate trigonometric values in a flat geometric plane.
Right.
They're posing time as a standard, and it is not.
Okay. All right. The next thing is, when I go to my next tangent, to my B1A1 tangent, and I go from my, when I work with the smaller triangle to get a future value, I want to run through that. Now that we know about the circles, do I do a new circle for C?
What do we know about the circles, number one?
The cylinders, the toilet paper rolls that are used to find the center of the triangle.
That will change your amplitudes. Good.
Yeah.
Control your amplitudes. Very good.
Mm-hmm. So when I go and do work with my smaller triangle from the B1A1 to the A2B2,
yep.
Do I have to do a new circle for C2?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I have to find the center of the smaller triangle.
Yes, because it's going to see there you go, and that gives you what you're looking for is your pinpoint accuracy. See, that'll set your pinpoint accuracy, which is fabulous, because then you talk about dealing with tiny, tiny numbers. Well, all of a sudden now you're getting fine as frog's hair.
Yeah.
And yet look, your degrees aren't really changed, are they?
Well, it's the same triangle.
Well, exactly.
Like the same angles.
But it's now being now capacitated in a much tinier linear space.
Yeah.
So your room for margin and error is all but eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing that Dr. Dean has figured out with these pico-sized minerals. Once you get vitamin C, is good for you, and then you get vitamin C into such a tiny, 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 tiny little size. Oh Lord, it's amazing how powerful it is. Well, that's the same thing you're describing. See, you humans, you get all this tangled up that in order for something to be good, it has to be big, and that's furthest from the case.
Mm-hmm. So when I'm working with my smaller triangle, I do my circles again, find the center of the triangle. But for my A2 value, I have a new A2 value, so that could be, that's above the x-axis.
You'll have to set a new tangent, too.
Right. I set the A3, B3 tangent.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. But the thing is, the A2 value has changed. It's not where A intersects with B1, A1. It's gone.
That's right.
Up
That's
in
right.
this case, does that mean
That's
I
right.
draw a line from A2 down to C?
You certainly could, but that's what you'll use to check your work. See, that's what you'll use to check your work, because then you can have, pulling it backward, you can pull that into intraday pips, intraday moves, because that's how you check your work. That's the complete cycle that allow you to double-check your movement, validate your vibration, which will be the same, but maybe with a different aggregated amplitude to verify your original application.
To verify the A2 value I came up with?
It would make it full circle, wouldn't it? Pardon the pun.
Okay. Explain the process of going back to validate.
Well, the same way if you pulled a B4, A4 tangent to the left of your original AB line segment. Now you've changed and opened your perspective wide open. Okay? You're going to hit lots of things from there, are you not?
Lots of intersections in the triangle
yes,
things?
Yes, yes, yeah. yes, yes, because, see, your gauge, your ratio has gotten larger, 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 so you're going to hit in a bigger perspective. All right, now, when you go the other way, in the small, new, tiny triangle, as you call it, that gives you pinpoint, precise accuracy. So from your B4 to your A3, there will be zero room to 1,000 decimal points of play. It won't vary within 1,000 decimal points.
Right, but it's also very likely that from B1A1 to A3B3, that there could be no intersections in the triangle because it's a smaller triangle.
Possibly, but that yeah. you know what to do when that's the case anyway, don't you?
Change my scale. Of the
Well, no, you don't have to even do that. If you have no intersection points, okay, then your A would be zero. Because you'd count the intersections of your sine cosine wave of A. In this point, at this place, it would be your A2.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have 100 intersection points, which isn't likely, but if you did, and that's divided by zero, how many is that? It's the same number.
Yep.
See? So it'll clean. It's still, even though it's a fool's errand to go through that function, but you can do it from a formulary, to double check to make sure.
Okay, so if I end up with a zero A3 value, does that just plots on the new x-axis? So it just means no shift from A2 to A3, right?
Your x-axis wouldn't shift.
Okay, so my x-axis, my new x-axis that I got when I was doing B1A1 tangent, does that remain the same when I'm working within the smaller triangle on the A3B3?
It should, yes. But if you want to prove that, work it without that, and you can. That's there's another point where you can, as the teacher would say, show your work. That's how that you prove your point. So rather than us just saying yeah, work it both ways, and then when it always comes out the same way, then that's how you know. Because this is your creation, obviously.
Okay. So initially you said when I'm working with the smaller triangle to do circles and find the center, but that circle that sets the amplitude for C2, rather, that is that going to be used to do intersections to find a new x-axis again? Okay.
It certainly is, yes. And if it... And what you're going to find is that many times, not every time, because, see, you have to include every shape. You see, you could have a very queer, aberrated setup. You see, it's logical.
Mm-hmm.
But more times than not, you'll find there'll be no shift or minuscule shift in your x-axis from your original work. It would be relatively within a nanometer of the same.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying there would be very little shift in the new x-axis,
right,
from the space between AB and B1A1,
right,
versus
because the new x-axis gives the new landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do a 1 year price point on something, and then you pull down a tiny, tiny, tiny thing of a 30-minute price point, because that ratio would be the same, you're going to have a less of a shift in the landscape from 1 year or in 1 year and 30 minutes.
Sure. But you're telling me that to do a circle on C2 and then using that circle to set the negative sine and cosine from C2 and find the intersection point.
Amplitude, yes. The change in the amplitude is all it changes.
Right, but the distance from C2 to the center of the smaller triangle is quite small compared to from C to the center of the first big triangle. So
right.
It looks like those peaks and troughs are actually going to be a lot closer to the first x-axis.
Well, that's true, potentially, but that's where you do your do the ciphering, and what you'll find is it will equal more likely the shifted new x-axis after you did the first computation.
Oh, I get it. So you're saying that once I run the computation from B1A1 to A2B2 and come up with my A3 value, when I apply that to my smaller x-axis, that I'm going to end up back pretty close to where A2 was, if it was only 30 minutes after?
Exactly. Okay. Now, that's not every single time, but we're talking about as a bird flies, more times than not, that once you get your feet wet at this, Chad, once you get this, all right, you will actually be able to do these computations in your head.
Okay.
Once you, it's like we'd say, okay, here we go. 6 times 6, what's the answer?
36.
Okay. Well, see, you didn't even have to get a piece of paper, a graph paper, a calculator, computer, looky box, nothing. That just became known. Well, this is this exact same way. And you'll just to see where you are, and then you'll get very comfortable with vibrations. And once you see and get very comfortable with those vibrations, you'll be able to, with pinpoint accuracy, hit it right on the head.
When you say... noticing the vibration, do you mean like just looking at three numbers in the newspaper, or do you mean actually, yeah?
that and perspective.
Explain perspective in this context.
Okay. First part of the year. Okay, JW was playing with these aspects himself. And he looked, and he didn't cipher anything, but then he thought about it a minute, and he thought he'd better cipher it. And he ciphered it, and it came out exactly where he saw it. Okay? And then we had made this grand, weird, stupid, Bob calls them predictions. Is that what you do before you dick something? You dick it in advance? But a prediction that gasoline was going to fall 50 cents a gallon. Well, when that was said, they were saying gasoline was going up to $5 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And it had about topped $4 a gallon. And here we said that the middle of summer, gas always goes up in the summertime, that it was going to be $3.50. It was going to drop 50 cents. Well, that's ridiculous. That's when everybody goes on vacation. That's when everybody travels. That's when they do summer blend. That's when everything, gasoline is always more expensive in the summertime. Well, it's very close to $3.50, and it's not even the middle of summer yet. It's 23 cents a gallon cheaper than it was Memorial Day, which was a month ago.
Right. So he made a prediction, and then he used this to validate it.
He saw it.
Okay. He saw it, and then he used this to validate it?
Well, he did, because it was impossible. It's impossible. It was impossible to him. He saw.
You're saying when you see something that seems a bit, you know, odd.
Yes.
Then this is a way, a process you can run through and go, okay, well, it's not so odd after all.
Exactly. And then and the only reason he did it, he does it lots. But the only reason he did it then, just because if he was going to parlay his money checks into a $95 a barrel for oil seemed worth his while, to be sure.
Yeah.
But more times than not, he doesn't even require that. And it's the same way with you. Once you get a little practice, you know, once you get your feet wet with it, it'll be normal. Like we just did a multiplication. You just knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And you didn't even have to check it. You could check it if you weren't sure.
Right.
You see. Because we could have said, okay, what's the 6 cubed? And then you go, oh, wait. Yeah, 36. Wait, times 33. See, then you might want to check it, you see. But it's no different than that, than our doing, say, a square root or a cube root. What's the cubed root of 8?
Yeah, so this becomes basically
2.
A new mathematical function.
Well, it's not new. It's where you left it from when you went analog. Now you're coming back to our world, Chad. You're going into our world. It's why your new programming all of a sudden is all the rage of the day.
Okay, so you're saying before I went into analog, this is what was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they'd gauge the price of pork bellies when the little piglet was born. And that's how they'd tell how many pork bellies to have.
Okay, so you're saying,
the price.
But are you saying this process of doing it on paper is what was before analog?
Yes.
Okay, then how come I have to use a graphing calculator to find my intersection points?
You don't. We've never suggested you use it. We've never, you've asked and we've said never, that we wouldn't give a suggestion regarding it. We think it is a fool's errand, and we say you shouldn't.
Okay, explain the way I can find the intersection points without going to a calculator.
Graph it by hand. Graph it the way they did before you had a fucking calculator.
Yeah, that's going to rely on the steadiness of hand and...
Good. So, well, since you're a marvelous creator, we trust your shaky hand better than we do someone else's feeble looky box. We prefer your more feeble hand than their calculated looky box.
Okay, so as far as you're concerned, if I didn't even touch any computers or calculators,
you'd be better off.
Be better off?
Yep. Hmm. But now, we're not fighting you. We're not pushing against you. Hell, you're number one. We got none against you. We are answering the question.
Right. But I want to get to the essence of this process and have,
yeah.
You know.
Well, when you get to the essence of the process, you'll find you won't require either. But that's all right. Ain't nobody hurt. If you can get comfortable with your calculator, use your calculator. If you can run around and learn how to push them buttons, that'd be fine with us. That's fine. But don't use anything we're saying to tell you which damn button to push, because we ain't in the button pushing business.
Okay. Yeah,
Bob
but it sounds...
says we push. Well, Bob says that the only buttons we push are his.
Yeah.
but now that's very interesting though, because
yeah.
See, look, what we're talking about here, the only reason this is a deal at all is because if you have to have a chip body to triangulate, then we are more God than you will ever be. If you
right.
have to have a chip body to do this triangulation, we, non-physical, will become more God than you will ever be. We're already creating in the chip landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Wide ass open.
Right,
we
so would
loosed.
That
we
would,
are loosed.
Would, wouldn't that screw up ascension if
well,
I was
it
to
would,
put...
It certainly would. It certainly would belay ascension, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Right, and that's why we're trying to get you into your place of power. And you are. You're doing beautiful. Ain't no trouble. It's great. Everything's better than you could ever imagine. Look where you were when you started with us, and look where you are now. You can prove it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's good. And even here, you don't get stuck. And when you figure this out, there'll be some other fun thing to play with. And some other fun thing to conquer. And some other castle to find. And some other elm tree to tap on.
Mm-hmm.
You see. So it's still beautifully fun. But at the same time, this is the good working example. All metaphors suck sooner or later. Of the reason that we do not suggest relying on a chip body expression for a creator's perceived vibrational flux. Because when you soon, it won't be long till your RAM will actually be done through carbon diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
No, and not the way they're doing it now. I mean, it's like doing surgery with chainsaws, what they're using now. Now, once you get to that base, then you're going to have a little different conversation, because the accuracy of every computation will have at least a quadrillion checks. Each step would be back-checked a quadrillion times. Then you're more comfortable with that. But you're not there yet.
Okay.
So it's just like Bob says, well, great, Ion, you tell us something, and we roll along, and then we get comfortable with it, and you go, oh, never mind. Well, so we're going ahead and telling you that except for when you get to that type of RAM, you won't even call it RAM at that point. But it'll be – they're not. No one's wearing diamonds anymore, so they got to do something with them.
So you're saying until then, the chip body doesn't have the accuracy
it's
anyway?
It's not reliable.
It's not reliable.
It's not as reliable as you.
Okay.
We non-physical trust you more than you with a chip body.
Okay.
Because guess what? As we are playing in the chip body, do you get non-physical could fuck with you in your chip body?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know because you don't know what you're doing, so you wouldn't know you'd been fucked with.
And would non-physical do that just for laughs?
No. They would not. But if it is a possibility, then we want you more powerful than your chip body.
Yeah, because it has to work every single time.
Without fail or exception, or you might as well chunk the fucker in a bucket.
So you're saying that just because there's a possibility non-physical could be fucking around in the chip body, then that
Absolutely.
Provides for an exception.
If we can change a damn archive on an internet radio show and change the show that's being recorded at different ways and different tiers and different levels, that ought to be the best working example of ever, is that if non-physical decides it wants to hear Vestal Goodman, then by God, that's what's going to get played.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah. So.
So, what's happening now? The anthropomorphic ante is yet raised again, Chad. Number one, now you're coming into the place where you soon, as you see where we're going with this, you soon are going to come to a place where it's going to be shit or get off the pot.
Right.
The ante keeps getting raised. The point of this whole shift process of kingdom on earth as it is in heaven is because the ante is being raised to such a tiered degree and level that you're gonna be forced to be a god to stay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the crutches are getting broken away.
That is exactly right. And if you can walk, walk. And if you can't, lay down. Pretty
okay.
much. Because see, people are living longer so they can bitch more voraciously. It's
yeah.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's forever for?
Yeah.
So this is that shift. Now, because you are in that leading edge, you're getting heads up of what the scoop is and what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like actually getting rid of the crutches. Just because I program a lot doesn't mean I adore the computer in any way. Or
We know. It's just your playground. It's just like Bob can't stand the telephone. It's just what he fucks with more than anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
See? But he really doesn't care for those wires and the headphones and buttons and
right.
connecting and staying connected. So if he relied on that and his phone was out, then he would be useless.
Exactly.
He would have no function.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the one way to run a god off his throne. Take his throne away.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. I want there's aspects of this so far formula that I'm using the calculator quite a bit for, and I would like to get it to the point where I first of all get rid of the chip body crutches and then eventually get off the paper.
Yeah.
So what I noticed in the last session when we got into the circles and we were able to find the center of the triangle and then do the circles, and then that gave me the amplitude, I felt really connected to a sort of a geometric fulcrum in this
yes.
whole process.
We've talked about that for hours and hours and hours and hours about the weightiness of balance.
Yeah.
If you can shift the fulcrum, you can always have a balanced stasis.
Okay.
See, we're not trying to make it equal. We're trying to make it balance.
Are you trying to balance on one side of AB and on the other side of AB?
Not necessarily. That'll hit you about 3 o'clock in the morning. It'll come back again. Don't let it distract you, but it's very key. The shifting of the fulcrum that you're just discussing right here, right now, is euphorically applied to the bigger picture of knowing what you're working with here.
That's occasionally I am throwing the word Archimedean. That's sort of talking about that.
Oh yeah,
right?
give me a place to stand and I'll move the world.
Yeah.
Do.
Right. So this process of triangulation gives me a place to stand or a lever?
A fulcrum that you can shift. So you can make level. You can make plumb and square, regardless of the balance or the weightiness of the matter.
Right. Okay. So is there a way that I can, instead of using my graphing calculator or my calculator to find the angles, is there a way that I can do that geometrically on the page?
Well, you could calculate it. You get your old slide rule.
Oh, so take the little protractor and
yeah.
just look at the angle. Get the angle off the paper.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
how do I go from, there's a how there. Explain
yeah.
the process of going from finding the degrees on the protractor to knowing the period of the wave.
Well, that's where you can go to your looky box there to Google, and you can type that in, and it'll come up, and it'll describe the process of how they used to do it. and it'll tell you how to mark each quadrant and 1 pi and 2 pi and 3 pi and 4 pi, and then you plot each little point, and then you make the peak, and then you come down and make the trough, and then you have your amplitude set so you see how it repeats, and then you look at the points where they intersect exactly, and then you note those points, and that's how you do it.
Okay.
Remember the parabolic with the concave and convex angles and the setting of the pitch of a wavelength? That's how they used to have to do it, is on flat paper or chalkboards. Boy, how do you get it? How do you get something exact with chalk? That's even more ridiculous. But that's the same theory that they used to put in the chip body to calculate it for you. Otherwise, it couldn't calculate it.
Right, because the chip body is just copying whatever processes they were doing.
Exactly. It's just a free-range thinker. And that's why we say never mind. You've got enough things fucking thinking for you. You shouldn't have to.
Right. So is there anything else I can – once I found the center of the triangle, is there any other things I can do with that center of the triangle besides finding the amplitude?
You found it originally when you sent it around to everybody when you were noticing the rhombic – position, even in when y'all were having your group orgy over this triangulation some months ago. You're the only one that found that then.
They
went over like lead balloons. Go look at your own damn emails. It'll help you.
Okay. Yeah, but can you tell me what else I can do with the center of the triangle?
The application of a rhombic sets the whole capacity or volume for the individual place of shift or change or amplitude. Because here's what else you can do. Once you know that, guess what you can do? You can change the vibration of something and affect the price that it's going to come to. You could triangulate a price and then know how to shift that triangulation and make it come out very different. And you're going, Ion, you mean to tell us that once we can triangulate, we can affect the outcome? We go, absolutely.
Right. That's when we get to the B5, correct?
That's A5. You very, absolutely. Because now you've significantly shifted the landscape to where no one else would notice that the landscape is shifted. And that's when you find yourself at the perfect right place at the perfect right time.
Okay.
That's what else you can do.
When you tell me that finding the center of the triangle makes a rhombic, I don't see a rhombic because rhombuses have four sides, and I see the triangle split with the lines that I use to find the center, but I don't.
Okay. Don't you remember in the conversation when we talked about having an aerial view of a pyramid and slicing it in half?
Yep.
You would have four
sides.
Was
that from corner to corner?
Well, it's a side. You have three sides and a base. That's four. That's as rhombic as it fucking gets.
So you're talking about a pyramid that has three corners on the bottom or four corners on the bottom?
Three. You divide it in half, remember?
Okay, so dividing the regular like Giza pyramid in half,
mm-hmm,
leave us with three bases.
You'd have two rhombics.
Okay.
And that's significant. Now, that's very significant because that's where they found it. You asked the question. You said, so this is what they used to do? And we go, yeah, that's how they'd get those perfect. That's how they'd get those pyramids perfect, Chad. And they didn't have no damn iMac to do their ciphering for them, did they?
Right. So is this like the image that I was just looking up earlier?
Yes, of course it is.
You take a cube, two
cubes.
Of
course cubes, it is.
You have one cube, and then the other cube, you slice it into four pyramids.
Exactly.
And then you put the pyramids on top of the cube, and it makes a rhombic dodecahedron.
Absolutely. And when you get that, you also have the matrix for how your diamond-based RAM will be calculated. You didn't know you was going to get that, did you, fucker?
Well, I kind of had an idea when we first started trying.
Ion, do you have to be rude to our guests? There's no need to call him fucker.
It's number one. We love playing with number one.
Bob,
he's too fun.
Bob, it's not my first rodeo.
Oh yeah.
He never comes to non-physical without
you
his
ain't,
astral
you
mind.
Ain't seen nothing. You haven't had a rodeo yet. You haven't had a rodeo yet, Chad.
Well, it's still all right because marvelously, what ends up happening is because Chad actually goes back and rehears and listens. He actually engages the benefit of a non-physical. Many don't. Many just like the play. And that's okay, too. We don't mind. But it's so much more endearing when you actually get something and apply it. And each step of the way, all the way through from where you are, where you are, but you've never stayed where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very significant. You get more. Even though you're not asking always, we still sort of slip it in most times, don't we?
Yeah.
And that's to your pleasure and benefit because we are you.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Good. So explain the benefits of looking at this triangle as a rhombic dodecahedron.
Okay. You always have to perfect your angles if you do it from a rhombic position. There's no room for error. You can mess up in triangles, but if you take a rhombic position, the lines have to meet. So it's a way for you to know.
Oh, I get it. Okay, so if the angles are not perfect, you won't get a rhombic dodecahedron.
That's exactly correct, and you'll know that in about 2.3 seconds.
Right, so the rhombic dodecahedron would validate the integrity of the angle configuration.
The integral confirmation that you are confirming.
Okay.
The integral confirmation that you, Chad, are confirming.
Hey, Chad. Ion says it's non-physical. The first description of itself was a dodecahedron. Math is non-physical. Then Ion is a dodecahedron, and then our non-physical is a dodecahedron.
Yeah.
Or it's a useful way of manipulating it, I guess.
Right.
Not manipulating, using it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's used.
Applying
if you're,
it.
If your angles aren't correct, you can't even create a rhombic dodecahedron. It won't
you're
line
fucked.
Up. Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about why your answer ain't right. You can't get the answer nohow.
Yeah.
So Pythagoras and them were trying to figure out this, and they didn't get this far.
They were okay with the aspect. They got the theory. They just couldn't. They got the erection. They just couldn't do anything with it, Bob.
Is it because they didn't have trigonometry yet?
Oh, trigonometry is just a name.
Well, did they have that stuff?
They've been squaring foundations since Stone.
Okay, so they had that. So they didn't know to mix the geometry and the trigonometry.
They did, but they didn't know its benefit.
And
see,
what is its benefit?
Chad, the benefit is?
If they knew how to make a rhombic dodecahedron by combining the geometry and the trigonometry, they could have validation that their calculations are correct. It's like plumb and square, knowing that something is square.
Now, that's the whole trick of the Masons. And the Knights Templars, too. So it's pretty fucking old, isn't it?
You mean the rhombic dodecahedron is there?
Yes.
And it's also how they built...
And it's why their clocks run backwards.
And it's how they built the pyramid?
They didn't build the pyramid.
No, but the people did. Did they
require
this dodecahedron knowledge?
Yes.
So,
of course.
Okay, so in terms of the triangulation on the graphing paper, do I measure the rhombic dodecahedron just in this triangle with the lines to make the center?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's your first set check. That would be your first set of checks and balances.
Okay, and how many number of sets, checks, and balances would
Eight.
Be required? Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Does that 8 have to do with the geometry of the rhombic dodecahedron?
Yes. Because if each angle is always accurate and marked, then you can't miss. From every perspective.
Oh, okay.
If it checks eight ways, you're on it.
So you're saying from any, when you look at a rhombic dodecahedron, no matter what way you're looking at it, you'll see eight, what, faces or lines?
Equal distance of angles.
So there's the eight
angles.
There's the eight in my chart. Ask about the icosahedron, Chaz.
Yeah, is there a benefit to the icosahedron for verifying and measuring these angular configurations?
You may.
Is it more beneficial than the rhombic dodecahedron?
No, it is not.
Okay.
It has to do with perspective.
So how many different perspectives are there for looking at the rhombic dodecahedron?
14.
Ah. Like 14 degrees of freedom?
That's the best place to apply that, yes.
Right.
So what's the significance of the 20, 4 by 5 in the icosahedron?
Okay. You have four sets of five bodies. If you could run 10 TADs four ways, you always end up back where you started.
And that's the message of the icosahedron, or that's the means to show that?
That's the means to verify it.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It would not be.
Right.
Bob, do you have four ways to run a pentad?
Five ways to run. You run a pentad four times.
Yeah, you would take each quadrant and make them the base. And then
right.
You'd run the other four.
And then you'd run it from the base. And then you'd run it from the base. And if it'll sit plumb and square on all bases, they're equal.
And then that means that it works every single time, though, fail or exception, because it works in every context?
It works every single way without fail or exception.
Right. So that's why Bob's been so accurate over the years.
Yeah, but
I don't know about
him.
That.
Yes,
you don't tell me that.
Him. He doesn't know what accurate is.
No,
He just hanging around for the benefit of his friends.
I just had that bubble show up, and I didn't know. I don't know who made it for me, but the bubble showed up on June 22nd.
Yeah, he was down at Hanky Canky's in New York City doing push-ups on a fucking dollar bill, and he got heebie-jeebies. And once he got heebie-jeebies worked out, he knew what was up then. He didn't know while it was up or where it was up or when
heebie-jeebies,
it was up.
Heebie-jeebies, that's good.
It was up, but he had something to know that something was going on. And what he noticed about it, the more he did that, the more stupid people sat around and drank party liquor and watched him do it. So it was very enjoyable for him.
Yeah. Okay. So, Ion, explain to me the technical process of viewing the rhombic dodecahedron on my graph paper and verifying my angles.
Well, you run your angles, and then you gauge your answer by what history says is. That'll be what you call the proof in the pudding. It's the easiest way.
You mean the historical prices?
You may. That's right.
Okay, so I have my triangle, and I've got lines through it to find the center. And it leaves me with...
And you're achieving those centers by halving each line segment?
Yeah, going from half of a line segment to the opposite
Good.
Corner.
Good,
yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So that leaves me with this triangle that has a bunch of, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 triangles inside of it.
Right.
Okay. Is there any significance to those six triangles?
Yes.
Are those six triangles equated with surfaces on a rhombic dodecahedron?
Yes, and they also would be, if you apply your circles from your ABC, you would actually every single time, without fail or exception, more perfectly accurately draw a fractal antenna.
Within one of the circles or all three?
Within all of the circles, within your triangle.
Okay, but within each independently, one of those circles would be a fractal antenna.
would be a portion of a complete fractal antenna.
Okay, so when you have the fractal, I mean, when you have the circles for A, circle for B, circle for C, collectively, together,
it's
you're creating
one fractal antenna.
One fractal antenna, okay.
And see, that's what people who can draw fractals are brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, now you know how you've been fucking doing it and didn't even know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't have known that was considered a fractal antenna. Like,
well, that's the way your cell phones work.
Okay, so the image created by having the circles and then these smaller triangles.
Is a polarity force of a degree of object change within the confines of three predicated points that have been in advance orchestrated and identified by you. And you're gauging base between those points within those circular degreed positions can now be correctly calculated down to step by step by step by step for you to achieve a new juxtaposed position within your travel direction or desire to show up to.
Okay, so if I were
so
to...
So let's just... No, wait a second. We're not through with that. You just hang on a minute. So you got a pound. A pound's $1.62
mm-hmm.
to a dollar. And you decided that your position, you want a pound to be $1.49 to a dollar. If you know what we just told you, you could force the pound to $1.49.
Okay.
That's way better than knowing what it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah, because trying to figure out what it's going to be is from more of a less than position.
Well, but it's all right, baby. It'll do. We were just showing you the basics, and then once you get at it, now you can get somewhere.
Okay, but you're saying, yeah.
The point is, just like your cell phone tells you where the coffee house is, it does not tell the coffee house how to get to you.
Oh, but this will tell the price how to get to me on a certain
exactly.
date. Okay, and I have to go to the B4 and then B5 in order to influence that?
To quantitatively apply that knowing, that's the fastest path to that answer. But once you get that answer, you'll find that it becomes almost a non-thing.
Which becomes a non-thing?
The whole damn gibberish.
The whole process of triangulation?
Yeah.
You're saying once I can do the B4, B5, and get the price to come to me, then triangulation just gets thrown on the shelf. It doesn't even...
Right. The same way you don't carry around an abacus to figure out 6 times 6 anymore.
Okay.
You have it by rote. The same way you don't have to take a college course to figure out how to take a half-step modulation from C sharp. You just know.
Yeah.
Same
so
way.
The little triangles that are created by finding the center of the big triangle, explain the way they apply to the B4 and B5.
Well, that's just the delineated position that you're gauging your landscape from. B4 and B5 is what gauges the bigger picture from a future historical reference point. A future historical reference point. Do you get that? Because y'all keep changing history, so you can't go strictly by history. They'll change that shit on you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it from your now, and then you got your future, and then you got your past, and then you got your further past, they can't shift that on you. Because that's what they talk about in the little movie things when they talk about time travel and all that kind of crap. They say you can't do nothing because you'll change the time-space continuum. Because they've got the notion that it's continuous. It's not continuous. It's repetitive. That's why your prices and your history data of, say, a pound, if that's what you're screwing with, you find you could look and say, how many times has a pound been $1.11 to a dollar? And you could look through history, and it'll be riddled with it. different occasions, different occurrences, different. It's like, well, no, wait a second. Those that mean, Ion, you mean to tell us that that vibration is repeating every time that price bumps into itself again? And we say, exactly. Well, if you could know that, then you could recognize what that frequency is. And when you could recognize what that frequency is, you wouldn't be asking us how to recognize the damn frequency.
Okay, and recognizing the frequency of how that that particular price repeats, that can that all be done from the AB going forward into the future? I don't have to go back.
Yeah. The same way they found out that it, that with 2 points in to create an ellipse, you have 2 points that can have a repetitive, what do you call the thing when something goes around something else, an orbit?
An orbit, a path
that it follows and stays in, and it's not a perfect circle. It's more an ellipse or an elliptical notion. It's because it's gauged from two polar points. And then you could come from outside on each angle of that side of that ellipse, and you could triangulate the exact orbit instantaneously by creating chords from those points, from a rhombic position.
A rhombic position by what? Creating a triangle within the ellipse?
Yeah.
So creating a triangle. So 3 points on the path of the ellipse.
And it only took them 2,000 years to figure that shit out, so you're ahead of the game.
Okay, so in that case, there's the ellipse, and I have 3 points on the ellipse, and then I connect them with chords, and then I find the center of the triangle. And that is what you're calling rhombic, is once they found the center of the triangle.
Okay.
And then explain the next step after that. Like, do I calculate the angles of those triangles with my protractor?
The next point would be a very nice sandy island with little alcoholic cocktails with little umbrellas in it.
To explain the connection there.
The next step is you got it, and you got more money checks than you know with what to do with, and you just sort of chill.
So you're saying there's no point to knowing the details of the angles in the rhombic dodecahedron?
Well, you'll figure that all out. That's all included in the rhombic. That's in that. That's just once you've learned the multiplication tables, you can multiply anything.
Okay, and I'm asking to know The benefits
of the multiplication tables.
No. I'm asking to know the dynamics of using the rhombic dodecahedron inside the triangle. Like,
baby, it tells every possibility that you can then engage.
Okay, and I want to know that the process or that knowledge of what's contained in the rhombic. Like,
every.
You're telling me I can get every answer, right? But you're not telling me the process to run to get the answer.
Yeah, go from your different tangents up to your B5, A5.
Yep.
And it will include every answer. You will have made a full trajectory of every possible price it has been.
Okay, but are you saying
you have a complete wave? When you have a complete wave, even as the landscape or your x-axis shifts, it is still the same price as it was in respect with where it is.
It's still the same price?
Yeah, all that's changed is your landscape's gone up and down.
Okay, so you're saying it's always the same price, only the landscape changes.
Right, the x-axis. Within a wavelength. That's exactly right.
Okay. So it's about
finding... And the
proof
of that is gold hadn't gone up since Jesus.
Okay.
Gold will buy the same thing as it bought all along now.
And is gold more stable than other factors for any particular reason?
No, it's just the only one that historically they've gauged as absolutely always the same. We'd say everything is. But if you said, if you calculated the price of a whalebone corset as opposed to what a whalebone corset was during the Civil War, you may find that not be as stable because it's absolutely been obsolesced and replaced. Gold, however, has not.
Right. Okay. So if I want to go back to the B4, I would go back, let's say, 10 days. So I go back 10 boxes, pull a tangent, and then plot the price that it was historically set on that day 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Or you could run your calculations backwards and tell what the price was and then see what history says it was.
That's the same way.
B4, you're trying to find A2, what A is to B.
Yeah.
Well, then you can find out with an A4, you can find what the B4 price was, because that's the price it was before.
Okay, so I would take what the price of A is on my AB, and then I would work backwards. So I would take what the Maybank multiplied by B and multiplied by A. Is that what you mean, doing it backwards?
Right, yeah. You do it exactly the same way. Just watch your ratios and make sure your ratios are conducive, that you're not... Make sure you're not shifting ratio. As long as you're not shifting ratio, you do it the same way. That's why we're trying to get this so it works every single time without failure exception. So whatever your mind can come up with to calculate, this same application will ensue.
Right. And so because I divided A over B over Maybank to get the future, I can do multiplication to back those out. Going backwards.
You certainly can, but now you notice now you're back to B4 over A4, so you would invert your fractions. Don't forget that now. Each tangent you jump, you have to invert, remember?
I'm inverting the labeling of the tangent. Yeah.
And so therefore you would invert your calculations in your function phase that you're using to calculate. Just remember, each tangent you jump, if you invert it, or each tangent you jump, you must invert it. Each tangent. Remember, if you
jump. Does that mean I invert the operation?
Yes, of course.
Okay. But basically, going from A back to B4, A4, that would be a process of multiplication. Is that correct?
No, you don't have to do that. You can, but you don't have to do that. What you would do is you'd draw your B4, A4 tangent, mm-hmm. and you'd begin your calculation from there and leave your original C where your original C always has been, and then you calculate forward from there and see where it comes to.
Oh, okay, so that's all. So I pull that tangent, and then I extend, do I extend the line?
And you watch that sine cosine wave with that shift in amplitude sync up and match with every other sine cosine wave, even though you've changed the size of the circle and not the degree, but the size of the circle that you're pulling the amplitude from. You'll watch those waves intersect. That's when you know you're on the right path.
Oh, okay. So if the waves from B4, A4 to the AB tangent and the waves from the AB tangent to B1, A1, if they line up, then I know that it's
accurate. You know you're on. Because what you're doing now is even though the amplitudes have changed, what you've done now is you know you have lined up or aligned frequency. We speak much about frequency alignment in the essence of creation.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
This is that aspect of what frequency alignment looks like.
Okay. So when I'm pulling my B4, A4 tangent, do I go from C and take the line that went from B to C and just extend that back? Like, do I just make my triangle bigger? Would that be
easier? Yes. So you'll have many, many, many more intersection points, won't you?
Yeah. So just extend those lines back so they hit the B4 tangent, and then I do my circles, find the center.
Well, you'll have a B4, C4 line segment. You'll have a B4, A4 line segment, and you'll have an A4, C4 line segment.
Mm-hmm.
So you've just made a bigger triangle, or another triangle.
Well, I just made the triangle bigger.
Well, yes, and as long as you don't fuck up your ratios with what you're doing, you'll be right on point. Be mindful of your ratios. Whatever you do to one point, you must do to them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but okay. I only bring them up, ratios up together. I only do that.
I agree, and we with you. We are absolutely with you, but we're just making sure that when you come along and you get stumped, you'll go, oh, yeah, crazy non-physical said mind the ratios. Ah, let me check that, and you'll see that's where you fell off mm-hmm. the chains.
So if those lines, if I get those waveforms to sync up with what's going on from AB to B1A1, then what's the point of the A5B5 tangent?
Oh, then you'll be able to, you can shift the vibration by shifting the amplitude.
So what's the difference there between going from B4A4 versus going from A5B5?
Watching what happens and knowing what happens and causing what happens to happen. That's the difference.
Okay.
And you'd say, well, Ion, that's kind of the same. If I know what it's going to be and I'm aware in advance that that's what it's going to be, I can line up to that and then I get that. And we go, yes. But when you get to the A5, what you find out is that you can shift that amplitude and you can make it be what you want it to be in that future, and you'll intersect with it then there as well. Well, you're saying, Ion, that's the same thing. And we go, well, one means you're limited to what it says, the vibration says it's going to be, and the other one allows you to pick what that price is going to intersect when it does.
Okay, so we're taking into consideration duality there between those two positions.
And which one pleases you. Sometimes you may not want to have the responsibility of setting something to show up at that. You just may want to know what it's going to be, and then you line up to it. No problem.
Okay, and then going from A5, B5 back to the AB tangent, is that the same process as running it from B4, A4?
Certainly.
Okay, so it's just...
As long as every time you jump a tangent, you invert.
Okay, but when I'm jumping tangents going forward, does that mean I invert my math operations of my A over B over Maybank?
Absolutely. Because remember, each tangent, you're going to flip each tangent when you name it in between it, aren't you?
Yeah. So would that mean the difference? Am I going A over B over Maybank between, these two tangents and then the next tangent?
And then it would be B over A, and then it may be divisible into the Maybank rate from that level. You just have to look at your calculations. But that's just the perfunctory things. You've got all that. You're doing good with all that already.
Yeah. Okay. And then with the A5 tangent, it's a matter, again, of lining up the waveforms?
Same. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because then you'll have it. You'll have so many viable working examples of frequency alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done this a bit, and we'll do it here, so it'll make sense. Remember we talked about if you had a little voltmeter with a black and a red stick, and you put it on your chest, and you were a frequency of 6.083, and you went car shopping, and you put it on a car, and it was 6.2. No, that's not the car. It's close. And you went around and put the probe on different cars that lined up with you. You wouldn't have to sign any papers. It would be your car.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same. This is how that applies.
Right. And the degrees of freedom, do they apply at each point between two tangents?
To everything, yes.
Okay. So is that like another level to get into the 14 degrees?
It would be. It would make the tree grow where you want the shade to be. And even if it wasn't in that place, you could make the boughs of the tree fill that area so it would still be shade.
Okay.
Good. I mean, being the nature lover you enjoy, you get that.
Okay, so the frequency alignment of the waves meeting up and being in sync, is that equivalent to when the angles are correct in the rhombic dodecahedron?
Well, they must be, or they won't line up.
Okay, so the angles, getting the angles right on the rhombic dodecahedron, that's not the same subject as frequency alignment, right?
That is correct. That's what you check to make sure that the frequencies that you plot are correct.
Okay.
You check what? What did you check the frequency?
You're plotting the frequency from the aspect of time. Well, the angles are what set your proximity of the correlation between frequency and periods of time, between tangents.
Right, but explain the process of looking at this triangle that's segmented into smaller triangles and getting a calculation out of there to make sure that my wavelengths are right.
Well, they'll be all be equal, won't they?
When you say they will all be equal, what would
The triangles of your rhombic will all be equal.
So you're saying all the triangles that are inside of my big triangle would be equal. Okay, so that oh, I get it. So they would all have the same angles.
And if you got through and they weren't, then you'd go, "Oop, I've fucked the pooch here."
Okay, so that's all it is if the angles in the smaller triangles are all the same to each other, then that means I've got the right frequency, right? Okay, but that doesn't tell me whether or not I'm drawing my waveforms correctly. That's a different thing.
Well, that's what you'll use to calculate.
The degree of angles in the triangles inside of the big triangle are what I will use to calculate my period.
Yes.
Okay, but that's not, but it's not telling me how far to space the waveforms. It's not giving me a geometric like pointer and saying, your intersection of the x-axis is here, and then the next one's there. It's not telling me that, is it? It's not pointing to that, is it?
If you take it down a little further, it will.
Explain taking it down a little further.
Go to the next tier. When you arrive at your next level, you'll know what we're speaking about. We're a little ahead of you.
Oh, okay. Would that be finding the centers of the smaller triangles?
It would.
Yeah.
But we're not sending you down that errand, okay?
Wouldn't that
But
save
when
me
you
a lot of effort, though?
Well, fine, tear it up, no problem. But
That doesn't sound very encouraging by your tone.
well, we're just saying, don't confuse yourself with the knowing. Don't confuse yourself. Get what you're doing now, and then apply that then, and then it will be by rote.
Okay. So it sounds like you're laying out a process of these steps, and I have to go through the steps in order to.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Very,
Big
very good.
boy, big boy.
Okay. Anything else? What do we got left hanging?
What about that point I was saying when we were talking last time, that you go back to the original AB after you did
Yeah,
the
when I was struggling with the Maybank rate because it was making giving me a really, really, many decimal point number and bringing my value down to such a tiny degree. Bob mentioned that there might be a process after that where you go to the Maybank, but then you have to go back to the AB tangent and work back with your Maybank value, do it again. Is that the
Or no,
case?
just that was the end. I remember that was an end point. It sounded like you got to that today, but I'm not sure, about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's Bob, it sounded from this session like that there you don't have to do that. You don't have to go back and rerun it.
I just remember when I was getting the formula, you went back to the original AB, and they were put into what you divided after you got the Maybank things with the links, the intersections and all that stuff. Then you went back. Am I got that visualized right, or has Chad got that in today's session?
You're pretty good. You're pretty good.
You went back to numbers you had ignored for a long time.
There you go. There you go. It would be if we was playing horseshoes or hand grenades, you'd have won first prize, Bob.
Yeah, it sounded like Ion was telling me that I don't have to do that. That just a matter of me getting the right May bank rate. So it sounds like I'm going to have to call them. I can't seem to
find a bitch one day. That you have to be that bothered, isn't it?
Yeah.
So here's...
There weren't any other ones, no.
Very wonderful. Okay, all in, all good, all done?
Yes.
How very wonderful. We appreciate playing with you more than you know. You're always great, great, great fun. A personal triumph of non-physical you are, number one. Therefore, we are totally, deliciously, happily, and forever Hippocrates of Nicaea.